The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
And welcome once again to Dave and Das Baron's Toys and Collectibles.
Whoa.
Excuse me, sir.
Whoa.
Excuse me, stranger.
Who are you? No. There's no excuse me, stranger crap going on here.
Do I know you? Have I met you, sir?
Okay, see, I
forgive me, kind sir. Uh-huh. Your face seems vaguely familiar.
I take a sabbatical for 2 weeks.
Three weeks. We skipped a show.
That's true. And suddenly it's Dave and Ados Baron's Toys and Collectibles?
Yeah, well, I think that's why you came back, because, like, Crash Murdoch was like, so should I make up art with Das? Suddenly, like, you're like, no, I'm back, I'm live!
Well, it makes anybody feel any better, especially Das. I told him, you know, he's going to be pretty much permanent co-host in that seat if I ever have to take leave of absence, or if you ever have to take leave of absence.
And he did. He did an amazing. I mean,
oh no, Das did an amazing job.
I felt bad, like, not keeping up my end, man. Das brought it. Das was like professional.
I'm like, you don't
listen to this show, son. Like, you're too professional for this show.
You know,
you're too good for us.
I wish there was more money, or there was something more I could do to just pay back the generosity of Das. I mean, you know, he's been such a wonderful help to the site.
I know.
And he's done so much and never asked for anything. And, you know, we're trying to get him access to Toy Fair so he can go experience Toy Fair. Not only, I mean, yes, he, you know, I would like him to go cover it since he's there, but it's a fun thing to go experience that. You know, I'm trying to get him into the Four Horsemen's Toypocalypse the night before Toy Fair so he can go experience that and have a good time and hang out. You know, that's kind of how part of the, you know, how I'm trying to pay him back for all his work. But little did I realize how hard it was to get people into Toy Fair anymore. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
Apparently not as hard as it's going to be to get into Comic-Con this year.
Comic-Con, yeah.
Yeah.
Meh.
But Das did an excellent job. I know he's going to listen to this.
Das was amazing. He's a good kid.
I know he's going to listen to this. He's probably going to blush because we're giving all these kudos.
No, man. Like I said, I was just trying to keep up. The kid was like, asking me all these questions, like, so we're going to have a syllabus, and we're going to have, like, a list of this, and we're going to have, I'm like,
you're like, Das, I don't think Duvall sent out a syllabus in,
like,
a year.
I just show up and, like, talk. The boy made me feel bad. It's like, I just was not living up to his level, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, gang, that's right. I am back.
Boo. I mean, yeah.
Aww.
Hooray. Huzzah.
Before we get to anything, though, I do want to point everyone's attention. If you go to toyworldorder.com and go to the actual story page for this week's episode, Carrie is once again taking part in the Fight for Air Climb here in Springfield, Illinois, and we don't ever ask for anything from the viewers, from the fans, but you know, this is a big deal especially for her now, 2 years in a row. You know, as some of you know, those of you that listen to the shows know, last year we lost her grandmother to cancer, and this year, unfortunately, we are losing her father to cancer. He is, he's been in the hospital, which is where I've been kind of supporting Carrie through all this. We talked a little bit about it on the last episode of Married to the Collection, but her father, unfortunately, eventually the disease is going to take his life. There's no silver lining. Positive thoughts can only go so far in this situation. Short of a miracle, and you know, it's we've come to the understanding that eventually this horrible, horrible disease will end up taking him from this earth. But to kind of you know, carry doing the Fight for Air Climb, we're asking for the viewers, the fans, to please donate. There'll be a link on the toyworldorder.com site on this story page where you can click on. It'll take you directly to Carrie's donation page. You can donate. You don't have to donate a lot. You can donate $1. Hell, you can donate 50 cents. Every little bit helps. But all the donations go towards the curing of this horrible disease and the research involved in it. So, Carrie and I don't see any of this money, so don't think it's going in our pockets and I'm buying toys with it. This money all goes to helping find a cure eventually for this horrible disease and defeating it once and for all. So please do that. We would appreciate it, as it's been a very hard time, and especially the last several weeks since I've been gone, since before Christmas. So it's just been a rough few weeks, and this would wouldn't help us out, but it would help out the cause greatly. So please do that. On to other things. Now that I've got off the sad stuff.
Yeah. No, so. That used to be my role. If you remember back in the early days, I was the one who always brought the show to a screeching halt talking about my mom dying of cancer. So,
yeah.
It's good to pass the baton.
Hey, no problem. Glad to take the baton, I suppose. You know what? For the first time in a long time, I think we're actually going to get to talk about some toy news, because there's been...
News!
Yeah, well, you and Das talked about some stuff.
Well, we got the Simpsons thing, which apparently is going to be... an actual toy line, and not just one of those special sets.
Yeah, it's not a Kuso set. It's an actual. They're going to do a line for it.
This is what I meant by like I was like I don't know. They're Simpsons. They're Legos.
They're Simpsons. They're Legos. They're coming. We were just talking before we went on the air that they showed off the first figure reveal of the 2014 G.I. Joe Convention box set, the 3¾-inch scale figure box set, and it turns out it's a ARBCO Industries Technician Cobra Lab Rats. Can you put some? Tell us some history behind that?
No, not really, because it's a storyline they're coming up specifically for this convention.
But I gotcha.
You know, it goes along with the zombie vipers they did earlier and the Toxo, or the hazard vipers they did earlier. In fact, he's even got the little canisters that the hazard viper came with.
Right.
It's basically that Cobra's developed some kind of zombie virus or zombie fluid or something, and now there's a zombie outbreak.
Right.
And so those are the lab rat guys that are, you know... They're usually the first guys to get killed in any zombie movie. It's like, oh my god, it's alive!
Yeah.
I mean, I know the story of the box set is that Joes are divided about how to deal with the zombie outbreak.
Ah, I gotcha.
So that they split into Eco Force, and I forget what the other guys are called.
Eco Force trying to rescue the zombie hunters.
The zombie hunters, yeah.
Zombie hunters and the Eco Force.
The Eco Force think that they're kind of like Herschel in Walking Dead, where they think that you can cure them.
Yeah.
And the zombie hunter's like, nah, let's just put a bullet in their head.
Right.
Which, if they're actually zombies, they're right. But
it looks like that set's going to include the zombie hunters. It'll include Outback. Say his name for me.
Who? Where?
Tijabang.
Oh, yeah, Tijabang. Tijabang. I can't pronounce it either.
And the Steel Brigade Commander.
And Eco Force's Flint, Ozone, Clean Sweep.
And then we've got the two Cobra Lab Rats. Three Toxo Vipers.
That'll be cool, because I bet that's the old school classic Toxo Viper.
Three Toxo Zombies, and Repulsor with Dog, which is the new canine. So, yeah. Kind of sad that they're doing the set, and then we're just completely getting, unless it's one of those figures they offer at the convention, at the store that they don't show, but I'm kind of sad that we're not going to finally see that zombie Cobra Commander.
Oh, I'm sure, okay, two Toxo Zombies, I'm sure that they're the zombie, because they have add-on sets.
Right, exactly.
They always have add-on sets, and I'm sure he'll probably be in one of those add-on sets.
I hope so, because that was one of the cool things to see in the case from last year?
The year before, I believe.
Was they showed those off, and everybody was like, oh my god! So, he is the ARBCO Cobra Lab Rat. They are just, as Dave said before we went on the air...
They are very cobbled together. Yeah. That is Rise of Cobra, Cobra Commander, over a classic Cobra Commander with... I think that's a G.I. Joe trooper from the new movie's helmet.
Yeah.
And then he's got the Hazard Vipers. He looks, you know, I've talked to someone who was like, he looks really cool. And it's like, yeah, I kind of like it. But at the same time, because I know all the parts.
Yeah.
He looks very cobbled together for me. It's cool that he's ARBCO, though. That's a cute little nod.
Yeah. But this goes to what we were talking about. And we'll talk about Toy Man here in a while. But we were talking about at Toy Man this weekend, discussing with Mike Irizarry from What's on Joe Mind. We were just kind of discussing the fact that Hasbro's kind of come out and said that, at least with the Star Wars community anyway, or people in the know in the Star Wars community...
It's come out that they're saying they cannot afford to make new molds.
So, yeah. So, basically, they can't afford to make...
New tooling
or new sculpts for figures. So, all of these figures that are coming out, or anything they're going to do, is going to just be cobbled together toys that they've released in the past. Which, it boggles my mind, because it's like, well, you know, I'm sure it costs NECA the same amount as it costs... Hasbro, as it costs like someone like Dr. John Kent to do tooling for stuff, because, you know, I mean, think about God Beast. You know, I'm holding one of God Beast's new Glios figures, and you got to imagine the tooling for this. They got to do tooling for this. I mean, that costs a lot of money. So it's like, how much does tooling...
Oh, tooling is hugely expensive. I'm sure Dr. Kent can tell you that. Well, yeah, I mean, that's always the most expensive. That's why they do stuff like sell the molds to other people. That's why we had, you know, the Prince of Thieves superpowers. I mean, that's why they do that.
But hell, but I mean, somebody as big as Hasbro has to go, we can't afford new... Well, who knows
what kind of year Hasbro's had. Who knows what they're, you know... I mean, they have other expenses, too.
Well, no, I know. I understand
you
know,
in a
that.
Weird sort of way, a year like this is sort of the best of times, worst of times for Hasbro, because you've got... I remember when the Indiana Jones line came out, they had so many stuff, so many toy lines they were making at the time that they just didn't have factory capacity.
Yeah.
And you've got to ship it, and you've got to do this, and you've got to, you know... So, I don't know. I mean, and it could have just been specifically about Star Wars, because, you know, Star Wars has got to be pricey for them. Because they pay for the license.
Right.
And it's probably... this year is probably deathly for them because there's no TV show. There's no movie.
No movie.
You know, and stores aren't thinking... I mean, I would bet a lot of toy purchasers for stores don't even know that Episode 7's coming.
Yeah.
And the ones that do know probably aren't thinking, well, we should prime the pump for this huge thing that's going to hit, you know, next Christmas.
Yeah, no.
They cast... The one guy from... Or they haven't cast him, but they're looking at casting the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yep.
Meth Damon. Hugo Weaving.
Yep.
Hugo Weaving and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
That'd be cool.
I find it kind of funny that already we're not even out of January and Mattel and Scott...
There's a crisis?
There's a couple things, actually.
Yeah, I saw Mark Belomo's posts on Facebook today.
We'll get to that in a second.
I don't know what that was all about.
I'm not going to read this big dissertation, but Mattel... Basically, Scott Neilich put this huge thing on the Matty Collector Facebook page, basically telling people to start... to really get into the mindset of anteing up for 2015. And it's just this long...
I saw one of the posts at the end was like, wait, don't they wait until the summer to start the scare tactics?
I think... I won't read the dissertation. If you want to read it, go to their Facebook page, the Matty Collector Facebook page. It's on there. But I like the comments. And I'm looking at Toy News International, our buddy Jay Cochran's site. And I'm looking at the comments on there. And I love some of the comments are like, I thought the begging and pleading started in July and August.
Yeah.
The next one down, which is from Matty Sucks, says, get ready to be ripped off next year as well. As if the figures, prices, and shipping are not enough to complain about, the quality gets worse. Then the real kicker, they show up in liquidation centers for $10. Another one that says, oh, by the way, we've been focusing so hard on the Master Universe Classics, we completely threw DC under the bus, so enjoy the junk DC figures.
Yeah, the DC people are a little bitter about what happened there.
This next one is fun. I can't believe the nerve of Mattel. Let's make toys that the fans want, then make them only available online, and then when the line fails because it's impossible to get them, we'll blame the fans.
See, for me, that would be a reason not to love Mattel. I would be angry at Mattel.
Yeah. Somebody tried to defend... I mean, there is a little bit of defense, but...
There's always going to be someone
Somebody said... was talking about the DC thing, and... they say DC Universe Classics has had over 300 figures, twice the number of Master Universe Classics, and is still the largest, most comprehensive collection of DC figures ever, and it's still not enough. Quit your belly aching and get over it. Well, I agree with that.
But the thing
is, you can't really make comparison to that because
DC was popular enough to be at retail.
DC had a retail line, so you really can't compare. It's like, you know, you can't compare that to Master Universe Classics. I understand people are bitter that it suddenly seems that DC Universe is getting thrown under the bus. But here's the problem: is they can't blame Classics, they can't blame Masters Classics for this because Mattel literally threw their own line under the bus by not doing any figures or not showing any figures that anyone really wanted that badly enough to sign up for subs.
Well, and the problem with DC was you get to a certain point where you've kind of you get these characters that a percentage really want, but a plurality don't care about.
Right.
And that's what DC. I mean, and every toy line does it. Star Wars did it. G.I. Joe does it. You know, where it's like, you know, like Ocean Master. You know, I can see it, okay? Like, I would probably, if that was at retail, I would pick it up.
Right.
But like, oh, wow, I'm going to, like, drop $200 on a subscription for Ocean Map. I mean, you know, it's a... Bat-Zaro was, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's a character that I love. I've got the DC Direct version, but, you know... I won't say they're obscure. Well, Bat-Zaro's obscure, but I won't say that most of them were obscure, but they're C-list guys.
They are.
And the line got to that point in its life. You know, and that guy's right. They did have so many... They did have all these figures, and it really was a great line, and I don't think people should be too bitter about it.
Right.
You know. But again, it was successful enough to be retail, and so you got like five, you know, five, six figures at a drop.
Yeah.
Plus the Build-A-Figures.
Which, I mean...
As opposed to, like, one a month. I mean, you know, you get, like, two or three waves, and you've got more figures than Masters does in a year.
Right. I was trying to find...
But I think the real bitterness was last year when they did the big push. Hey, everybody, we need you to sign up for Masters. We need you for Masters. Hey, you know, we're going to cut He-Man and make him less pretty if you don't sign up for Masters.
Right.
And the DC guys are like, you could go to bat for us, too.
Hello. Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
Yeah, it's like, what's
So I think that's what they're talking about throwing it under the bus. Is that there was a big, you know, Mattel made a big, you know, Toy Guru made a big push to save Masters, but was like, yeah, whatever, DC lives or dies.
I mean, yeah.
I think that's the feeling.
I was going to ask, if I can find it, one of our old cohorts on Toy World Order, Dave Ortega, yeah. Batman Unlimited Arkham Origins Batman. Do you know anything about this figure?
Is that the small one or the big one?
Yeah, I think that might be the small one.
Because I have the big one.
Apparently this figure, well, on eBay, it's going for well up of $100.
Okay, I saw, not the Arkham Origins one, but I saw the regular Batman at Toyman.
Yeah, these
from
are...
From that line.
Yeah, these are the 6-inch ones, but then...
Oh, that's a 6-inch one?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got that!
But then if you look on Amazon.com, somebody's trying to sell four of them for $1,000 a piece.
Well, I was an idiot for opening it.
It's not even that, it's like... There's no reason that figure's worth that much money. At all.
I feel stupid.
Like,
well, how come Deathstroke is like $28? I couldn't even find him.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, somebody's just trying to sell these, sell this 6-inch Batman for $1,000.
I perched
like,
mine on the TV and he fell off and he's behind my TV covered in dust.
Oh no.
$1,000 wasted.
I know, it's pretty funny. But that goes on too. I mean,
well, that was one of those things. Like, honest to God, that was one of those like last tail end of line things. And
right.
I didn't know it existed. I walked into Toys R Us one day and it was like, hey, an Arkham Origins Batman.
Yeah, and you're like,
that's
ooh,
kind of neat.
Yeah.
I will buy that. And I got home. I looked in the back. I'm like, oh, there was a Deathstroke. I probably should have tried to look for.
I didn't want anyone to think we were reading these. You know, I don't want it to turn into bash on Matty Day here on the podcast, but
we still have the other thing to go.
Well, I thought it was funny that the other thing that happened was today was the early sale
for people that are subscribers.
Yes, and there was a bug with the Digital River Matty Collector site's Java.
You lie. Yeah. Why would you lie?
And what happened was, some people figured it out, but a majority of people never could figure out why it was doing it. But when they went to go pay, they never got any options for their shipping. So it just was stuck in an endless loop where they literally couldn't pay because they couldn't choose shipping. Some people found out that if you turned off your Java on your machine, you could get past that. But because there was a bug in the system with their Java, it was screwing up. So lots of guys like Mark Belomo. Lots of these guys who were trying to get in to buy Ram Man, who they missed the first time around, or this, that, and the other, or trying to help some friends out, nobody could get Ram Man, the people that wanted it. And for, it looked like three or four hours before Maddie finally came on their Facebook page, and it's like, we've been told that there's some issues, we're working on it. And then, like, maybe half an hour later, they're like, they're fixed. And, like, all of the responses were, yeah, that's great. Too bad the one figure we all wanted is gone because no one could order it. And it's like, people are like, tell me this. How can a figure be sold out if no one could order it? And that's when people were telling them, well, I ordered it. I turned off my Java on my machine because that's what other people did and ordered it. So,
yep.
It's like,
I can't remember what it was, but like a month or two ago, they had a sale where it was like the front sale page, you know, where they list everything on sale, wasn't updated, but the individual sale pages were. So like people were buying whatever that figure was from the individual sale page, and other people were just loading the main sale page.
Yeah.
So it sold out before it ever appeared on the main sale page.
Yep.
Digital River. I'm going to miss you when you're gone.
God, I can't imagine anyone's truly going to miss them.
I am, because I never buy anything from Mattel.
Well,
if I
don't
do,
either.
I do it at Toyman.
And
so.
I commented on
Belomo. Or allegedly China.
Yeah, I know. I commented on Belomo's thing, and I was like...
I know, that's why I paid attention.
I just said, people always wonder, why did I stop buying this line 2 years ago? I'm like, this is why. I'm like, it shouldn't be this hard to get a toy. And... Like
it shouldn't
be
that hard to get anything in
no.
this society.
And it's frustrating that, hell, I don't have that hard of a time you know, well, the only thing that I've ever had that I buying vintage toys, I don't even have that hard of a time getting stuff that I want.
Yeah.
That should be hard to find. That it's like you walk into a toy show and it's like, oh, there's four of them. You know, whereas a master figure trying to buy it off Matic Collector on pre-sale or day of sale, it's like, oh, well, it's just like taking your own life and you know, handing your life over to somebody and go, well, here's the noose. You swing that rope up there and then swing on it. If I die, you know?
You know, like anything else, like a book or a record or a video game, like everybody has a billion of them because they want it to be sold the day that it comes out, you know, or DVDs.
Yeah.
Every store in town has that DVD. With this, it's like, yeah, you got to jump through 100 fiery hoops and then you get stuck in a Java thing.
Well, and it goes back to my main complaint with Digital Rivers, the fact that I know for a fact that Matty Collector took the lowest contract bid they could find. Because we've heard time and time again the upper management at Mattel have no faith in any of the Mattel, the Matty Collector product, and they don't want to put any money behind it because it's not making them a whole lot of money, so they don't care. So they took the lowest possible contract they could get, and the lowest contract was Digital River, who, before all of this, simply just distributed digital copies of PC games. That's all. How hard is that? They don't have to do anything. They just send you an email with a link and you download it. Whereas this, they suddenly have to have a physical shipping environment and have to handle all this extra traffic, and it was a nightmare from day one.
Yep.
From day one. So, part of me is super, like, I'll go back again.
But the thing is, it also becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because it's like, this stuff doesn't sell very well, blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't sell very well because people like me don't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
People like you get sick of it and drop it. You know, that's why, you know, if it had been done right, you know, maybe you would get more traffic and more sales.
Well,
and then there were all the shenanigans with, well, we've got limited production numbers and we've got this and we've got that, and we're always messing around and playing games, and everything has to be subscription based. It's like, well, you're constantly cutting your own throat.
And then people like you who see a figure and you're like, I kind of want that. That means you go to Toyman or our buddy Joe and just buy them from him.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Masters, I buy it from Joe, and if it's DC, I would usually buy it somewhere. But I mean, it's like, you know, I was saying this about Star Wars now. It's like, you know, I bought a Darth Plagueis on eBay, but like, that's one figure out of three waves. I figure I can pay, you know.
Right.
At some point, if you're just buying one or two things, you can just skip the hassle and pay the little extra, and it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Moving on, talking about NECA, there's a couple things for NECA. I guess NECA recently changed their avatar on their Twitter profile page to the Activision, the cover for the Activision game Predator on NES. And of course, NECA's been doing all of these NES-based figures. So they did, you know, they did Friday the 13th, Jason. They did Nightmare on Elm Street's Freddy Krueger. They did RoboCop, all as they appeared in the 8-bit NES games, the same paint apps and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people, you know, now there's this great speculation since NECA changed this Twitter app, or changed their Twitter avatar, that Predator is next in that line. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I would guess.
That's kind of cool. So, of course, we'll probably see it at Toy Fair next month, if not sooner. And then the other thing, which probably will make Dave happy...
They've been milking that Predator thing.
...is they finally did announce that the Concept Wave Mogwai Series 4 are coming out.
Cool. I really love Penny. She's adorable. Yeah,
Penny, Doodah, and Brownie. Which Penny would be the first female figure ever, I think, as a Gremlin.
Yeah, they're doing the I can't remember her name, but the gremlin who got dressed up and dragged.
Yeah. But this would actually be like the first actual female, because that wasn't really.
I don't know if she's a female. I mean, just feminine.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, but she's the first overtly feminine Mogwai.
I don't know. Doodah's kind of neat looking.
Hey.
And then come on, and then
Brownie's cool.
Brownie's
too.
Cute. Brownie's little adorable folded too. Ears.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it.
They're cute.
Oh, they're so cute. So those are finally going to happen.
Cool. So they had those on the frickin'... They have... NECA's doing these things where they have these charts of all the figures that they've made.
Yeah.
And those were on there. Those were actually represented on there.
Oh, cool.
Like, as toys.
Well, it says they're shipping now,
Whereas
the
Bat Gremlin was just like a silhouette.
It was a silhouette?
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see it at Toy Fair.
Well, you know what else shipped? Was the Spider Gremlin, yes, finally!
You finally got your Spider
Gremlin. At long last.
I know. How happy were you?
I was happy.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Did he have enough room in his little spot that you...
No. He no. did not.
No, not at all.
He's in there, but his legs are kind of folded up underneath him.
Yeah. Sounds like it's time to move the Gremlins to a different shelf so he has room to stand.
There are no other shelves.
Time to buy new shelves so the Gremlin will have room to stand. And then, of course,
he's
we talked
fine.
About, you know, the Marvel Universe line ended.
Yeah.
So they can introduce the Hasbro's Avengers Infinite series, which basically replaces.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Same but, blank, different day.
Yeah, but they showed off the Series 1, which includes...
includes Indestructible Hulk.
Yep.
Wasp, finally.
Yep, a very cool Cap. Cap.
I think Cap's a reissue. I think Cap and Grim Reaper.
Yep.
Hyperion. But they did him at Wasp, as I said, and she's even got a little Wasp.
Oh, she even got a little tiny Wasp. Well, how fun is that?
And then they had a Iron Man, too, that was a reissue.
Hero Gage Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah, I think Iron Man and Captain America are reissued. Most of them were. Like, if you got that Avengers wave that they came out before Christmas.
Right.
Not the crummy kid one, but the more collector-oriented one that had the red skull.
Yeah.
Those figures were all reused bodies.
I got you.
Like, with different heads.
Right.
Like, Black Widow was kind of cool because she was like a comic Black Widow, but she had the movie Black Widow body.
Yeah.
Red Skull was basically the same Red Skull body they've used for the movies, but it had a different head.
I gotcha.
Hulk was actually really cool because it was a movie. It was a. It's like a movie Hulk, but it's like a different body. It's so much better than the one they released for the Avengers.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, I've got mine pre-ordered at unnamed online retailer.
No, you can say Big Bad Toy Store.
No, I can, but I'm not going to.
Fair enough.
They want to be that way.
Fair enough.
I'll give them my money, but I won't give them free advertising. But yeah, because I want that Wasp, and I kind of, you know, I'm a Hulk collector, so I'll get the Hulk.
Right.
I'm not a fan of Hulk in armor, because that's just
silly.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's like, that's...
I can't use the word that I want to use, because it's offensive.
It's pointless. It's like, really? Why?
It's
why is
he... so stupid.
Why Sim's got armor on?
Why has Hulk got armor?
This is dumb.
And then, you know, the Grim Reaper guy is like, he's a natural character. Whatever.
Yeah.
And Hyperion's kind of cool.
I didn't even know who Hyperion was. I was like,
who the
heck
is
that?
I think he's one of the Squadron Supreme guys. They're the... Squadron Supreme is in the Marvel Universe, there's a second Earth, which
right.
is like exactly on the other side of the sun. And on that world, they basically... It was a little kind of jokey thing where they basically had DC characters.
Oh, I gotcha.
So he's Superman.
He's Superman.
And then Nighthawk is Batman.
Oh, I gotcha. That's silly.
Well, it was a cute little thing they did. And then,
yeah.
And then DC had their version of Marvel characters.
Yep.
I forget what that was.
So you and Doss actually did your top 10 a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did, and everyone keeps asking if you're going to do your... Well, we did top 5.
Yeah, I'm going to do top 5, because that's about... Because, I mean, as you guys know, I don't buy new toys.
Well, we didn't do toys. We did everything. We did movies. And,
oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Well, I'll
Thank
do,
you for listening to your show.
I'll do top 5. Well, I did, but I that's been several weeks ago, and lots
happened
since then.
It was the whole show.
Lots happened since then, okay?
I did, like, Breaking Bad and Iron Man 3.
I'll do toys, because I can do top 5 toys.
Okay. We each did one toy. He did Grayskull, and I did Soundwave.
Number 5 for me would have to be Dr. John Kidd's Mortals.
I'm not saying that. I'm not accusing you of being a suck up.
Well,
I'm not doing that. Here, let me wipe that stuff off your nose.
Stop it. Number 4 would have to be the SH Figure Arts Sailor Moon line.
There's a shock. Yeah.
Number 3 is John Kent's RoboForce.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, it's getting caked on there pretty thick there, son.
What can I say, dude? It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And then number 2 would have to be the Transformers Masterpiece Alert, who I got to review earlier this year, which was kind of neat. Or last year.
I don't remember
him at all. And then number 1 for me is the... is Fans Toys Quickwave.
Oh, okay.
Which I think that's my favorite toy that I bought last year, is Quickwave. Because I first reviewed yours.
Yes, and then you got one of your own.
And then I got one of my own, because after playing with yours, I went, I want one of these, and I don't care what it takes. I need to get one of these somehow. So, yes, there's my top 5.
Yeah.
I just wanted to run through those pretty quick, because people are like, are you going to do one? And I'm like, I don't have a whole lot, but I'll do 5. So, David, I went to Toy Man on Sunday.
This is going to be a jam-packed episode, peeps. We did indeed.
Yes, we did. I went and set up.
We braved the niceness.
It was nice. It was
a temperate night. Aside from the fact that we left when it was dark and we got back when it was dark.
Yes.
The weather itself was lovely.
Yes, because Toy Man has been extended an extra hour, so it's now open until 3 instead of 2.
We'll get to that.
Yes. But yeah, so I got a table and Dave went with me and we set up. And just because I had just a sheer amount of duplicates from the last time that I'd set up, just from like toy trades and stuff. I had a bunch of extra visionaries.
We had that Spawn stuff. We always talked about selling a toy, man. So
had all the Spawn stuff. I just had a bunch of loose figures. I still had a bunch of loose G.I. Joes. I had a bunch of stuff. And, you know, people, especially a lot of people listen to the show who go to Toy Man, who see us there, know.
We had several secret code words. I was very happy.
A lot of secret code words.
So shout outs to Aaron and Joe and Matt.
And Matt, yep. And of course, we saw our buddies Randy and David there, and a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people we got to talk to this time.
Yeah, this was interesting. I almost call this the George Costanza Toy Man because I did everything differently than I normally do. I talked to people.
Yes.
Like, actually talked to people for a long time. Yes. Had conversations with Dan, Dealer Dan, and Joe.
And Joe.
And Joe's brother-in-law, I think.
Yes.
And Dan Nordyke, who's from Springfield, and that was an interesting conversation because he's part of the team that's doing those new Mego style DC figures.
Yeah, he's part of the he's one of the founders, I think, and one of the investors in
I don't know what it's called, but it was
Figures Toy Company.
Yeah,
yeah,
but it was a really interesting conversation because apparently they had production problems, so that the first wave figures. Their arms kind of crack. And, apparently, the plastic clamshells are made right here in Springfield with recycled material.
Yeah, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, which is fascinating. And then there's this whole thing where like they didn't actually... They got the rights from the TV Batman, but not directly to DC.
So
there was some like DC was like, excuse me, pardon me.
Yeah, what
so
are
they
you
had
doing?
To add the DC... They finally made a deal where they had to add the DC logo, but that screwed up the packaging, so they had to reprint all the packaging.
Yeah.
It was just a really interesting conversation.
Pretty crazy.
And I felt bad because I'm like I'm having all these conversations with people, and I look over at you, and I'm like, oh, poor guy, he's not getting a chance to see anything. It's like maybe the first 40 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go over there and help Duval out. So I go over there, and I hadn't even bought anything yet.
Yeah.
And I go and I was looking for one thing for a friend of ours, Jay, who was like, they have these
Battlestar Galactica
Hot Wheels things.
Yeah.
And I found a guy who had one. But he only had one Viper. So I went back to the table and spelled you and called Jay, and he's like, oh, I'll pick, you know, because the guy wanted kind of a lot for it, but
yeah.
Jay was like, cool with that. So, and then you just basically wandered off into a singularity or something. You just disappeared. You spent an hour talking to Dan alone, because I would look over there and was like, has he gotten that freaking phone booth yet?
Yeah, I ended
you up... You were gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would like to buy, I would like to, because I didn't even look around. I was talking to people.
I know, that's what's funny.
Like, and so I came back because I felt bad. I felt bad for you. I had the capacity for empathy for another human being.
I was trying to get
and
back.
You were gone, man. You were just gone, baby, gone. And you came back for like 1 minute. After like 2 hours, you're like, and I'm like, okay, well, here. And you're like, no, wait, I haven't even looked around yet. And I'm like, well, just let me go buy this thing for Jay and I'll come back.
Yeah.
That was my mistake, coming back.
Yep.
I should have just stayed out. Should have just, you tagged me and I'm like, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm not going back to the ring until I'm done.
Yep. You should have been like, I'll be back later.
And then I came back, and then it was like, bye. Boom.
Ah, sorry.
So, yeah. Well, whatever.
Sorry, dude.
Well, I mean, it worked out in the end, because I did it. I mean, yeah, again, we were supposed to be there till 3. So, in the end, it was like, there was no lack of time to look around.
Right, exactly.
In the end.
In the end, yeah.
So.
Yeah, most of my stuff, like, I took a bunch of carded stuff that I had. I had some Transformers Heroes with Cybertron PVC figures that Hasbro released that were originally done by Takara.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of carded ones of those that have been hanging there, and I'm like, I have most of these loose, so I don't need
these.
Those
must have gone fast, because like, by the time I got back, they were gone.
Oh, everything that I took, literally, like, all the carded
stuff.
Well,
not everything.
Well, no, all the carded stuff, pretty much all the carded stuff was gone. Like, by the time Dave came back, I was just sitting there going, well, I had a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, that's cool for me, but I was like, well, this is interesting. So that sold, a bunch of the loose figures sold. When the show finally opened, a guy came by and bought almost pretty much all the Spawn stuff except for two figures, which I actually just brought home and opened because they were both Angela figures, and I was like, well, these aren't, it's obvious nobody's going to buy these. I guess I'll open them and put them on my shelf. But yeah, like, we had some guys behind us that were from around Springfield that were dealers.
They're not exactly Springfield. I forget where they're from. They're a little further downstate.
Yeah.
They're close enough. Yeah.
But they were just set up there to buy, basically. I mean, they set up.
Yeah, they were
kind
of like us. They had a few things they were kind of selling, but they were really there to buy.
Yeah.
In fact, I almost bought that Mahler from that guy.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I gave him the money, but then I realized that one of the wheels was broken.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I didn't... He didn't know that either, and he, like, immediately said, I'll tell you what, I'll just give you your money back. I'm like,
yeah. Okay. So, that's... a lot of good stuff, though. Not a lot of good stuff. I saw some good stuff, but it was like... You know, it's the January show. It's always usually one of the slower shows.
Seemed to me that a lot of the stuff that I saw was pretty much the same stuff I'd seen in December and November.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the dealers just kind of all brought the same stuff that just hadn't sold yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I found stuff. But a lot of stuff that I bought was stuff that I'd been intending to buy.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, like, the only specific reason I really wanted to go set up was because our buddy dealer Dan was bringing me the phone booth from Bill and Ted's that I was missing. So I went there to pick that up and traded him some stuff, some Defenders of the Earth stuff that I had. I had a carded Flash Gordon and an extra loose Phantom. So I traded him that stuff, and I think I gave him like $25 cash for it all together. So I got that, and then I found some other things that were a couple of board games and some... as the day wore on, like, I really didn't...
Oh, are you going to tell them what board game you found that you were so proud of?
I did find an ideal Pop-O-Matic Chipmunks game, which was awesome.
That's not what I'm talking about. No, you know it.
Yeah, I did find the Masters of the Universe, the Battle for Eternia game?
I don't know. I believe. The Masters thing.
Yeah, it was the Masters thing.
The Masters thing. All I know is you came back like, look, I got this Masters game.
Yeah, I was pretty happy that I found it. I was like, yay!
And then funnily enough, you were back over that way later, and Joe, who's there, who sells the Masters
stuff.
He went to that table, and he's like, oh, someone bought that Masters game.
He's like, hey, did you have that that He-Man, that Battle for Eternia game? She's like, well, I did, but I think I sold it. And I overheard it, and I turned around and looked at it. It's like, Joe! And he turned around, and I was like, that would be me. I bought that. I'm sorry. Like, that was the first. That was one of like the first thing I bought today. I was like, ooh, I'm not skipping this again. Just missing a little He-Man cardboard piece. But the cool thing with that game is you can use your figures. So,
oh, neat.
Because the stands have little holes.
Like that G.I. Joe game.
Yeah, you can actually put your figures on the stands and use them. So I'm like, you don't really need the He-Man cardboard thing if you have a He-Man. So that was pretty cool. The guys behind us that we were talking about, one of the first things I bought was I happened to turn around and look in his case, and he had an Arco GoBots cap gun, the small one.
I remember. You had that when I came back, actually.
The small one. I looked, and I was like, how much you want for the little cap gun? He's like, which one? I was like, that one, the little GoBots guy. And he's like, $5. And I'm like, yes. He's like, I didn't even know what it was, really. And I was like, oh, it's from GoBots. I'm like, I got the big one. I'm like, I just really wanted the little one now, so... I found some really cheesy, awful 90s lines for like $2 a piece on card.
Well, I was the one who came back when I finally did my big sweep. I came back with a couple of 90s toys myself.
Yes.
And I told you the story about that where the guy had this ID4 Independence Day figure for $8. And he was, you know, I said, well, will you take $5? He's like, well, everything's half off.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, oh.
Then you should have taken yes.
And you should have taken $5.
You should have taken $5. But I got that, and I got...
The leader?
The leader from the 90s Hulk thing. And I came back and told you that table's got everything. And you're like, ooh,
yeah.
They've got crappy figures half off. Yes. I have to go look.
Yes. So I went over and I bought two figures from the Galoob Ultra Force line.
Yes,
which is
yes,
such,
you
which
did.
Is such an awful line.
Yes,
but I
bought, it is.
Bought Prime and, Hardcase, I think,
yeah,
is his name. And then I was looking through and he had two Flash Gordon figures from Playmates. And he had Flash and one of the evil Mongo warriors. And I was like, oh, I've got to buy these. Like, I'm going to end up completing these lines eventually because they're so stupid cheap and they're horrible, and that's right up my alley. So, came home with those, and I think the surprise of the show, though, for me and for you both, was there was a new dealer set up there. It was the first time he'd ever set up the show. He had a stack of Captain Power vehicles in box.
Yeah, he was right next to Joe.
Yeah, it was right next to Joe. He had a stack of Captain Power vehicles in box, and I had gone by there once and looked at his prices, and he said it had $25 in all of them, and I was like, wow, that's actually really cheap for those. I'm like, usually those are like $50-$60 in the box. So, like, that's actually a really good price.
And that's a good price for $50-$60. On eBay, those are $100 toys.
So I was like, well, I was like, I'll think about it. I'll go walk around. I went back and I sat there. And then finally I was like, I think I gave you change money. And I was like, I'm going to go back here. I need to go buy this Captain Power vehicle real quick. And you were like, oh, okay. So I ran back there and bought it and came back, and you were like, huh.
Yeah, right. You ran back, and then eventually...
When I returned.
You know, as the seasons changed, you came back.
From whence I returned.
You came back with it, and I was like, whoa!
You were like, how much was that? And I'm like, $25. And you're like, what? Really?
Well, see, I asked because, you know, as we've established, you're cheap.
Yes.
So you bought this thing. I'm like, wow, that must be like really affordable.
Yeah.
$25. I'm like, I asked you, did he have the bad guy jet? And you're like, yeah.
Yep.
I'm like, gone. Boom.
So Dave took off, and we both got, I got my PowerJet XT7, and Dave got his Phantom Striker. So yeah, my Captain Power Series 1 vehicles are done.
Cool.
And my figures are done.
Is there a Series 2 vehicle?
Yeah, there's Series 2 vehicles.
Oh, you poor thing.
There's a wind-up Dreadwalker.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
There's a Power Base, and...
I feel bad. I've got, like, every figure, and now I've got a jet, and I know so little about that toy line. I'm so ignorant about it.
Dave's like, I don't know anything about this.
He's got a jet and a thing and a robot with a big snout. And
jet and a thing and a robot, and...
So yeah, I watched a little of the TV show.
Oh, that's good. It was a good show. I my goal was to not spend a lot of money. Like, I didn't want to, because my real goal for the show was to sell some stuff to make a little bit of bang for Kane County, because I was like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to chip in for the hotel. So I'm like, I got to make some money somehow. So I was like, well, that's, you know, my goal was selling some of the stuff to make money. So I go to Kane County in April. Technically, so I'm going to C2E2 on Saturday and go to Kane County in April, but C2E2 is not going to cost me nothing, really. But one of the things that I saw that I was like, man, I don't want to spend $15 on. I was like, ugh. This other guy who'd set up a couple times had a in a bag, he had a complete Sam Haim from Extreme Ghostbusters. And I was like, man, because I saw it on your shelf, and I was like, oh, I've always wanted that figure, and he's so expensive usually.
That's one of those things I actually just bought at retail because
yep.
I love that character from Real Ghostbusters.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, neat.
So that dealer had come by a couple times. He came by again looking, and I was like, hey, do you see anything on the table that you're interested in that you would be willing to take in trade for that Sam Haim you've got on your table over there? And he kind of looked at me and was like, I think I can come up with something. And he found some stuff, and he's like, how's this work? And I was like, yep. And he's like, hold on, I'll be back. And he went back and got my Sam Haim, brought it back. And I was like, oh, sweet. I now own Sam Haim. He goes with my Real Ghostbuster stuff.
Yeah, mine too. Yes. Mine's on top of the firehouse.
I just need to pry his head apart and fix his spring.
If you can figure out how, let me know. It goes bad over time. I keep telling you that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure there's a way to fix it. Or just take the spring out altogether.
Yeah.
So. Because he looks funky with his head like all... Bruh.
Yeah. Well, so, he does.
Yeah. What else did you find? The first
time you came back, we'll get to the really cool story. But the first time you came back, you're like, this guy has germs over there. And I like hit you really hard.
Yes.
And then jumped up and was like, you take your filthy money. Watch the table.
Yes.
So I got a couple more germs in my collection.
Which, for anyone who doesn't know, germs was a World of Wonder line.
Yeah.
It was just a little, they were little PVC that, well, not little,
they were little
heavy.
Plastic test tubes
they're
that have heavy. Little PVC, little rubber
heavy.
Germs. Little goofy looking germs that, like, represented goofy medical conditions.
Yes.
Because the one that I had from college, I got one in college, someone bought it for me because I was always joking about having eyeball goop.
Yep.
And it was the eyeball goop germ.
That's funny.
So there's like a hiccup germ. And
these things, and just to give you an idea, these things are rare. They're not,
yeah, apparently,
they're not
yeah,
easy
apparently
to find.
They're pricey.
And they're stupid expensive on eBay. What'd you end up paying for yours?
$20 for two.
For both of them? Yeah, so $10 a piece. And usually
yeah,
they're
one
like...
one had the proper tube and one had like obviously a replacement tube.
Yeah, but well, still.
Yeah. But yeah, one of the interesting kind of things for me was, like I said, it was the George Costanza show, because usually I try to negotiate with dealers.
Yes.
And I always fail miserably.
Miserably.
So this time, like, well, one of them was Joe, so that was kind of unfair, but I bought Cast a Spell up.
But Joe always cuts you a deal.
Well, yeah, so. But I didn't. But he wasn't there, so I didn't even try to negotiate with
him.
Oh,
yeah.
But his brother-in-law just gave me $5 off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. And then when I got the one toy that I really came down to buy... Because this one guy always has it, is the comedian from the Watchmen line, from Mattel's Watchmen line.
Yes.
And he wanted a lot of money for it. But I came down specifically to buy that toy, and I was prepared to pay that price.
Right.
And so I gave him the money, and he was trying to sell the other one. He had Ozymandias, too. And I'm like, no, I don't want to buy both of them, because that would kind of clean me out.
Yeah.
And he's still, like I paid him the full price, and suddenly he's like, here, take $5 back.
And you're like,
so
what?
I was, like, getting deals without... Apparently the trick for me to get deals is to not ask for them.
Yes.
But the crowning achievement of this toy man show was I've been dabbling with Secret Wars, the old Mattel toy line.
Exactly, right.
And I've been picking up figures here and there. And ironically, one of the first toys I ever bought as a collector was the Hobgoblin. And that was more because I loved the Hobgoblin as a character, as a design. But I've had that figure on the card since I started collecting years ago.
Right.
And just now I'm like, well, I don't have enough on my plate.
Yeah.
So, I don't have enough fires burning. So
I just put one more line on
that
plate.
Yeah, why
don't
I just completely destroy my future? But so I wanted to get Wolverine, and I wanted to get Wolverine with the claws, because obviously he's Wolverine. Didn't really care about the shield.
Right.
Didn't really care about that, but I needed the claws. So,
well, the shield and all that stuff is always easy to obtain.
I'm not even worried about it. I mean, the shield seems to be the same shield for all the good guys and all the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I was looking around, and one dealer who's near us had two of them. He had one on the card that had the silver claws, and he had one in the case, which had the black claws. And the black claws are a rare variant. He wanted $175 for the black claw variant.
Right.
And he wanted $80 for the carded silver claws. And I want to open one, so I wasn't going to pay that.
Right.
And he had a bag set of like a bunch of them, and I don't even know what he was asking for that, and it didn't look like they had the claws. So I asked him, you know, he was like, what are you looking for? And I told him, he said, I think I've got one behind the counter. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And so he finally, you know, and he was busy, so he was near where we were, and he finally came over, and he had one, but didn't have the claws.
Right.
And he wanted $20 for it. And it was, I don't know, I felt like it was a little high, but I was like, eh, whatever. Maybe I'll try to track down the claws. Like after he left, I bought it. And after he left, I was like trying to track down the claws on eBay.
Right.
I couldn't find the claws. So the people we were just talking about, the guys from Illinois who were sitting behind us, directly behind us, the way the tables are, we're all in the same area, but technically their table faces the other way. Another dealer, a third dealer, who usually sets up there, and I don't know if he was set up there, but he was there. Because the spot he was set up at was where the Hot Wheels were this time.
Yeah, he wasn't set up this time.
But he usually sets up and he has a lot of Star Wars toys, and I've actually bought a lot of stuff for him because his stuff is really reasonably priced.
Right.
But he came by with these bags of Joes and bags of Joe parts and just weapons, bags of weapons, just random weapons. So the other guys were going through and cherry-picking the good weapons and trying to, you know, amass a bunch of stuff and get them cheap. And I feel this tap on my shoulder. And the guy reaches over, and he's got, like, one black claw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. And I'm like, what do you want for it? And the guy's like, oh, $3.
Yeah.
And so I only had a 20, so I borrowed $3 from you.
Yep.
And the guy's like, no, you know what? I recognize you. You're one of my regular customers when I set up here, and I'll let you have that for free. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So I give you $3 back.
Yeah.
And we're looking through it, and and we can't find the other one. He's like, oh. I mean, we're finding the little guns for the little Devastator robots, the individual Constructicons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're finding guns for Secret Wars guys, and we're finding, you know, all these other stuff. I just couldn't find it. So I'm like, ah, well. So I sat down, and eventually I get a tap on my shoulder, and they found the other one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, sweet. And I'm like, well, do you want the $3? And the guy's like, no, you can have them both. It's like, it's a customer loyalty thing. And I'm like, do you really understand what's going on here? Because I almost feel kind of bad now.
Ugh.
But so I got a $175 toy for $20 from the dealer who was selling it for $175.
Yep.
It was the George Costanza everything is opposite.
Which I honestly think might be one of your greatest finds ever.
That's gotta be the greatest find I've ever pulled off.
Yeah, that's
pretty. That's gotta be the most amazing thing.
That's pretty spectacular. I mean, that is pretty spectacular.
Because it's from the dealer. That's what makes it amazing.
Yeah, I know.
It's from the guy. It slipped out from underneath him.
You know, that's like with all my Bill and Ted stuff. I mean, we never saw Bill and Ted stuff at any of the shows, hardly, until, you know, started finding little bits and pieces of them. And then our buddy Dan was like, hey, I've got all of those. Well, you should have said something. Let me bring them next show, and yeah. I'll give you a deal on them. And he was telling me prices, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I'm like, he just really wants to get rid of these, because on eBay, those are freaking ridiculous. And then he was like, well, I had the phone booth for you, too, and I forgot it. And then when he brought it this month, you know, he had $45 on it. And with the trades, of course, I only paid $25 for it. So, you know.
Yeah.
Still, $25 for a mint in box Kenner Bill and Ted.
Yeah, yeah.
And that toy alone is like $200 most times. Because it doesn't ever hardly pop up.
Yeah.
And when it does, it's gone.
It was interesting because he also had a Defiant that was mostly complete. It was missing some things.
Yes.
The first thing I said was, does it have the chairs? And we opened it up, and it had the freaking chairs.
Had the chairs. Dave was so upset.
I was like, ah.
Dave was like, really?
Because he wanted to know what it would go for. He wanted to ask like $400.
Right.
It was not quite in $400 shape, but I mean, it had the freaking chairs.
I think you quoted him like $325 or something.
I quoted
him like
$300.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it had a lot. I mean, the chairs alone were really rare. I kind of realized afterwards that may still have been a little high because the little ball turrets were broken off.
Oh yeah,
and that's a nightmare to fix.
Yeah, because the ball.
Speaking as someone who's done it,
yeah.
Because you think you can just unscrew the thing and take it apart, but those actual specific parts are like not—they don't come apart right.
Yeah.
So you will almost break the thing trying to get those balls out.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I did it though.
I know. I am stubborn. You have a lot of patience.
Sometimes.
Oh man.
If the alternative is buying another Defiant, yeah, I got some patience.
Yes. But yeah, so you know, we talked about that. The show had been extended till 3, which. it's fine. It makes sense because, you know, January is a slow month, but, you know, March should be pretty busy because it's spring and a lot more dealers will come out. You know, now that we're back to every other month,
I think until the end of the year, too. There was a real sameness to everything, it felt.
Yeah.
To me, at least.
You know, Chris McQuillan, who runs the show, was kind of not begging but asking dealers, please stay till 3, please stay till 3. Because usually people pack up and leave once they're... A lot of guys, if they haven't made a sale, they're just going to pack up and leave. They're like, screw this. I haven't even made the money to cover my table.
We knew a dealer who was like, I kind of want to go, but I don't want to be the first guy to go. But if people start going, I'm gonna join the crowd.
And the problem was, I was getting so low on my table that we finally made a deal with the guys behind us that all my little bag figures, which I think I had a couple of $6 G.I. Joes there, but for the most part, they were all like $1, $2, $3 figures.
Like, yeah, they were.
And I was like, dude, I'll give you everything on this table for $1 a piece, like all the bag figures. And he was like, really, $1 a piece? I'm like, dude, I just want to go home at this point. Like, we just want to go eat lunch and head home. So, yeah, literally. I'm like, I don't want to take all this stuff home. And he's like, yeah, all right, I'll do that. So they ended up buying, like, I think it was like $35 or $40 at the end of the day. It just, you know, bagged figures, and they got some good deals because, again, there was some 6 or 7. I think there was a complete leather neck from G.I. Joe, the first issue. You know, there was some good figures, but I sold the really good ones for the regular prices, so I was like, yeah, whatever. But I literally had 3 things left on my well.
Yeah, 2 Spawns and the Last Action Hero.
Yeah, 2 Spawns and the Last Action Hero, and I looked at Dave and Mike Irizarry, who was with us, and I was like, let's go get lunch, boys. Like, we're out of here.
Like, we're done. We sold out. We can go. And the guys behind us were like, it doesn't work that way. And it's like, what are we, in school?
Yeah, whatever.
We got to wait for everybody?
I'm like, nope. I'm like, my table's clean, guys. I'm out.
And people were bailing anyway. Like, as we were leaving, we were, like, in a crowd of people that were, like, wheeling stuff out.
Yeah, so... I mean, it was a good show overall, sales-wise.
Just one quick thing. Like, I remember there were a couple of cosplayers. There was a Rogue that was kind of...
Yeah, she was very attractive.
For a while. But there was a Black Canary. And at one point, towards the end, Chris went on the PA and he's like... So I don't know anything about comic books, but apparently Black Canary has a sonic screen, and the PA is pretty loud. You gotta understand. So we're gonna see what the sonic scream's all about, and I'm like, oh my god.
We're all looking at one another, going, like,
if she screams over the PA, that's it. It's time to go home.
Yeah. Luckily, she did it off the PA.
She did it off PA, but
we're like, well, this is pretty good, I guess.
It was loud. It was shrill.
Yeah,
but it was like, I think that's when everybody really started checking their watches.
They're like, well, I think it's time to go.
I think it's time to wrap this up. Yeah, it was a good show. I enjoyed it. It's always a good show.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's...
This one had an interesting flow to it. I think it was real slow to start. And then when the doors opened for the regular admission, it got a little crowded for about an hour or two. And then it kind of petered out.
Yeah, then it really started to peter out. And it was like, oh, geez. And then we walked outside and we realized, oh, this is why nobody wanted to come in, because it's almost dang near 60 out here.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's like, geez, man. It was crazy. Well, what do you say we answer some fan questions?
We got a bunch of fan questions.
Let's answer some fan questions.
Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
All right. Well, before we get to the fan questions from the Toy World Order fans group on Facebook.com, quick story is I got a new phone earlier this year and have been trying to figure out how to add my Gmail accounts, because I literally have like 7 Gmail accounts because of the site.
Yeah.
So there was one that I forgot about, and Dave pointed out to me today, because somehow Dave is getting emails sent to him from the same account. And the admin account at ToyWorldOrder.com, which if you hit the contact us on the Toy World Order page, it sends it to the admin email box. Well, I hadn't checked it because it hadn't given me notification. And when Dave showed me, I got all these messages from fans, and I keep getting them. I'm like, uh-oh, what have I not been checking? Well, due to the holiday and Carrie's dad and everything, I just completely forgot about it. So we're going to answer some of these questions, and I apologize to all of you asking the questions on here that we're getting to it so late. This first one comes from, it's not really a question, but it's more of a kind of a Merry Christmas wish from Matt Tata out in Staten Island. He just says, hey, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, I've emailed you like once before. Just wanted to wish you guys, Carrie and your families, a safe and happy Christmas. Love your podcast and really, really loving the board show. I think Dave and Puppet Duvall were meant to work together. Love the production and humor you guys and Dan bring on that show. Keep up the awesome work, gentlemen. I can't get enough of that show, and congratulations to both of you on 100 episodes. Here's to the podcast, reviews, and shows to come in 2014. Again, thank you for the great shows, and Merry Christmas, guys, from Matt Tata. And I apologize to Matt. Again, lots of stuff going on, so I hope that you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And hope you'll go to the Facebook.com/ Toy World Order fans and join the group, as that's kind of where the forums are now going. I posted the thing finally in the forum saying at the end of the month I'm shutting the forums down completely. They're going to be gone, erased, no more. And there'll be links on the Toy World Order site for it'll just be a community button that you can click, and it'll take you to the Facebook.com Toy World Order fans page. Why not the official Toy World Order page? Well, it makes no sense when the fans page is where I want everyone to communicate and interact, and it's kind of silly to interact on the official one when it's like you've got all this other nonsense going on there with posts and stuff. And in this one, everyone can, it's just like the forums, only it's easier for people like myself and Dave to keep track of what's on there and to respond to it. So it makes it a little easier. This next one comes from, James Ashley 30 at rocketmail.com. Never mind. That's not a question. It was just, hi, I forgot my password. I hadn't been on for a long time, and the password sent by email does not work. James. Well, James, don't worry about it. go to Facebook.com/ Toy World Order fans and join the fan group there. All right. So the questions from the actual the Facebook page here, the Toy World Order fans group. The first one comes from Kelly Chrissy Nickerson. She says, looking forward to your return. Ados, Baron, and Dave did a great job. And here's a question, Duvall. Since we were talking about unboxing vintage toys, which we were Sunday at Toy Man.
Yeah.
Have you ever bought a vintage box toy only to find that the plastic or rubber had deteriorated beyond repair while in the packaging? She said I would be devastated. Yes, actually, I bought...
Well, the RoboCop cycle is a famous example.
Yep, the RoboCop cycle for me, the first one I bought, is a famous example, because I bought it at our buddy Fred's house, and never opened it, and then somebody saw a picture of it and said, you should probably open that and check it to see if it's flaked. I'm like, oh, good call. And I opened it, and it literally was just like a pile of blue, what used to be metallic paint that had fallen off the vacuum-formed front of the RoboCop cycle. And I was like, oh, because I really wanted to display it, and I couldn't. So I ended up at the last Toy Man, maybe the Toy Man before.
No, it was
November, December.
It was December, I think.
It was December. Yeah, December's Toy Man. I ended up buying another one for like $10. And the guy was like, had it. And I was like, can I ask you a silly question? I'm like, I don't want to do this if you don't want to. But I told him my story, and he said, yeah, go ahead and pop it open. He's like, go ahead, just cut the tape. That's fine. So I cut the tape and looked, and it was fine. And I was like, I'll take it. So, yeah, no, I was devastated. It was pretty bad. It was like, oh. I was very, very unhappy. What about you, Dave?
I know I've had a couple of figures break right out of the packaging or
in
the
package.
Spawn, yes, indeed. Trying to think of something that was... I've had rubber bands rotted on some Star Wars toys, but never the actual toy itself. I've been really lucky on that,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But I haven't opened up my RoboCop cycle, so I mean, it could just be a huge
Pile of nastiness, yeah. Good buddy Christopher Haywood. Says, have you ever opened a toy and regretted it because it looked better in the package?
No, but I have. I have regretted that it was open and I couldn't return it or sell it down the road.
Good call.
You know, where I would open it up and I'm like, I didn't like this that much. Kind of wish I could just take it back.
Yeah,
but it's open now. I don't think I've ever had one that was like just that I preferred in the package. If I want something in the package, I usually buy it to keep it in the package.
I can't think of anything that I've... I know the only thing... the stuff that I remember opening, and I regret opening it because they were horrible, and I've looked at them at Tomarts and thought, of course, you know, you all know that I gravitate towards those awful, awful toy lines that never lasted.
You do.
We did a toy line on That New Toy Smell that I covered for... I don't remember if it was Halloween one year or not, but it was the Tales from the Crypt... Tales from the Crypt Keeper line. And I couldn't tell you who made those toys. I can't remember. But those were the worst. Like, they look really cool in the package. And when you open up, you're just like, these figures are horrible. Like, beyond horrible. These are awful.
Yeah.
And they were bad. And I'm like, I regret even agreeing to do this episode. Because these are no fun. I think I've said that on the I think I gave them away on the show. I was like, you can take these because I literally don't want them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to look at them. And it's funny, too, because now I look back and go, but they're so awful.
Yeah, you went around the horn on that one.
Yeah, I did a little bit. Charles Averett says that you guys have talked about the many toy shows or auctions you go to in the past. My question is about the before and after. The before conversation or anticipation about going to a show or auction, and the after conversation about what you saw, what you bought, and the deals or outrageous prices some people were asking. Says, my friends and I will have multi conversations about a show leading up to the show, and even in the car ride to the show about what we think we'll find. Do you guys and your friends do the same? If so, that would be interesting material for a show, in my opinion. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Of course, Charles is Star Joe Chuck.
Yeah. From Star Joe. Do you listen to the show? Because we usually have an episode, especially King County. There's always that episode before King County where we're talking about what we're hoping to see. And
yeah, we have done it several times. We'll probably do it again as we get near the April King County. The last few King Counties we've gone to, we've had Dan on before, since we usually all three of us go. And we've talked about what we think we might or might see, what we're looking for. We do have those conversations even in the car usually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially for Kane County, you've got to kill the time.
Yeah, because the Kane County drives.
There ain't nothing we don't talk about on that drive.
Yeah, Kane County's a three-hour-plus drive for us, and it's just like, oh.
You usually sleep because you're a jerk.
I sleep on the way home. I don't ever sleep on the way there. I did that one year because I was sick.
Yeah.
In my defense, I was...
sick. You were...
You thought I was not long for this world.
I was worried about you.
Yeah. We have those conversations quite a bit, and it's always interesting... Because we never go to those shows with really a game plan in mind, per se, because we're never really quite... We don't have a list of stuff we're really actively looking for.
Speaking for myself, after like the first couple, you begin to learn that you just got to take the shows as they are.
Yes.
And you know, you can go in with agenda, but you're probably, you know, you'll find everything but what you're looking for.
Yeah, usually. That's usually how it works.
You'll find it after you buy everything else, which is that whole story about the stupid Robin Hood wagon, because I didn't want you to let me spend my money.
Yep, and then I saw it, and I was like, it's $10, buy it.
No, your job is supposed to be to stop me from spending
But then
money.
You were happy that you bought it when you got home, because you're like, it's got all of the figures in there. Well, yeah. Still
happy stretching it.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I like the line. I don't know about you.
It's okay. It takes up shelf space.
Yeah, that's all right. It's going to take up shelf space somewhere in mine, too, when I build it. Oh, God.
What?
Mike Irizarry says, is it true you guys know Mike Irizarry of What's on Joe Mind? He's awesome.
I've never heard of you. No idea who that is.
Dave gives Mike such a hard time on the show, but...
Oh, yes. He doesn't reciprocate at all. He's an innocent little flower. He is.
In Dave's defense...
Whoever he is.
Yes. We did spend quite... Mike ended up joining us at the table.
We spent entirely too much time with Mike Irizarry.
Yeah, we saw him... I don't know. He hung out with us for 3 or 4 hours on Sunday.
The other thing, it felt like he came late, but that show went on so long that...
We had a good time. We broke Mike several times.
We did. We both got him at least once.
Yeah, he literally just the point where he could not stop laughing because it was ridiculous. So, and every time we'd look at each other and go, we broke Mike. Good times. Yes, we do know Mike Irizarry, What's on Joe Mind, and yeah, he's kind of awesome, I guess. Yeah.
Depends on your definition of awesome.
Yeah. Joe Santana says, what vintage toy line would you like to see either updated for today or given something like the Funko Reaction line and basically have it released like it was back in the day? I know we've covered this in the past, but since I finally accumulated all the Bill and Ted stuff, I really want to see Funko and Super 7 do a reaction Bill and Ted's line. Like, I want a 3 3/4 inch line, and I want a little phone booth.
Yeah.
You know. Plus, since they're doing these 6 inch, the Legacy line, I believe it's called.
That's more like a collector.
It's more of the collector oriented, like the Star Wars Black. Right? Yeah. Star Wars Black articulated line. I'd like to see Bill and Ted's in that wave too. So that'd be cool.
You know what I was thinking? I've mentioned this before. They won't do it because it's too scattershot and too many different licenses. But I would love to see like a line where you go through and you pick out the figures that didn't get made, and go do them in that style.
Yes.
So like John Hammond for Jurassic Park and King Richard for Robin Hood.
Yes.
You know, the Sean Connery character.
That'd be nice.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, or even like with Star Wars, Grand Moff Tarkin in the old vintage
kind of style.
But, you know, because there's all these toy lines that just didn't make certain characters, or they didn't get made, like the girl for Waterworld.
Yes.
Or, you know, stuff that just never got made. I would love a toy line like that just fills in the gaps.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Licensing to be a biatch.
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth it. But
be cool to see, though.
But, I mean, in terms of, like, I would love to see maybe Rocketeer.
Oh, God, yes.
Blade Runner, I know they've talked about. Yeah. I would buy that.
I know. I know the first actual reaction and legacy line they've announced has been Firefly.
Yeah.
So, we, you know.
I know a lot of people will be excited about that. I've never really watched that, so I'm...
I haven't either, but I know everyone loves it. Yeah, so... our buddy John Cook says, don't forget Duvall's best worst of 2013 list. Also, thoughts on Simpsons Legos minifigures as blind bags arriving in May 2014.
I hate blind bags. That's what I think about that.
Yep. Dave's not a big fan. Will you buy them to...
No.
No?
No, no. I probably won't buy heavily into that line.
No.
I got like 1.5 Simpsons line as it is.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I'm working on the Mattel one. I got a bunch of the Playmates. The house I would really love to get.
It's a gorgeous piece. But it's Lego so did such an amazing job on that. But
that's like maybe in the middle of the summer if things have been going well.
You can find it.
And I can find it.
Yeah.
You can usually find Lego. Lego's never hard to find.
Yeah.
Like when it comes out, it's never hard to find.
Yeah. That's true. Randy RC says, what toys have you been most shocked and excited to find in the wild? Vintage toy wise.
Vintage toy wise?
Yeah. Well, just toys in period. Just toys in general, probably.
You know, back when I was really heavily collecting Star Wars, there were periods where, like, it was really hard to find things, and I would find, you know, you just. A lot of times, you just find a way that you can't find, or it's really rare. I'm trying to think of the one Star Wars black figure I have that's a 6-inch figure is Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Because I just found her at Target.
Slave Leia.
I found both the Spider-Man and the Captain America 6-inch figures as they were putting them out.
Yeah.
So I got Black Cat.
Yeah.
Like, they were not going to... She was in the bottom of the box, kind of hidden away. They were not going to put her out. And I was like, yoink!
Yep. Too bad. So sad.
So.
I think the thing that always... The one thing that I eventually owned, and I do own, was seeing those Filmation Ghostbusters figures of that Toy Man at that time, because we'd never seen those, like, not in that mass quantity and that shape with the ghost buggy and stuff. Never had seen them at a show before. Oh, yeah. And then just that one dealer just had that whole set of them, and eventually I bought them from him off eBay, but still it was just like, humana, 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 humana.
Well, there's the one dealer, and he's come back to, like, the last two or three, because he was at, cause the first one was the Halloween one, where, you know, I talked about how I was interested in getting back into Dragon Riders of Styx.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this one guy had all these Dragon Riders of the Styx figures.
Yes.
So, that would be one.
And they were all on card, and it's just like...
No, they weren't all on card, but there were some on loose. Card. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always been one to see. Or I saw that one. He had that Bugman of Insectica.
Yeah, he's got that one figure on the card.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, but he wants, like, something ridiculous. $200. Yeah, it's like, oh. Rich Bernier says, welcome back, Jason, from what I only can assume was a stay in the Tijuana jail.
Probably.
Probably. Do either of you two toy scholars remember Mego's Eagle Force? They were 2-inch die-cast metal figures that were very similar to Hasbro's relaunched 3¾-inch Joes. I always assumed they were Mego's answer to the Real American Hero, but as it turns out, they both appear to have been developed independently of each other. I remember as a kid really enjoying them, and my mom even got me a Hot Wheels carrying case just to store them. I do remember those. You remember seeing those?
Yeah,
absolutely. I saw a whole bag of those.
They were at the show.
Yeah.
They were some at the show.
Well, I saw a whole bag of them in an antique mall. They were all beat to heck, and I looked at them. I was like, I know what these are, but I can't place it. And I looked up, and I was like, oh, that's what they are. They're from Mego. They were cool. But the problem is finding those things... The only way really now to collect those is to buy them mint, like on card.
Because they're made out of metal. And if you played with them, they got rusted.
And the fact that they came with quite a few weapons.
Yeah.
And you'll never find those weapons in the wild, unless you get really lucky. That was why I turned...
When we were talking earlier about the whole Wolverine claw in the bag, there were a couple of, I think, Eagle Force weapons in there, because there were a couple of really tiny
really
little
tiny
guns.
Really tiny little guns, yeah. But that's kind of one of those lines that, our buddy Brent Scarano... I was kind of on the lookout for Power Lord's weapons this weekend, because he still needs some weapons, and then John Kent still needed the Psydot binoculars and gun, which I found for him before I left for Toy Man, that I acquired for him. But I told Brent I'd keep an eye on that, and then he told me what figures he needed for, and I was just like, you're better off on those, just trying to find them on card for as cheap as you can and opening them, because like he needed Back Attack. Who's got like this assortment of like he's got like replaceable hands, and he's got this thing on his back that shoots off. And half the time you see that figure, it's loose, it's missing everything. It's like there's no sense of trying to track all of that down.
That would be nightmarish to find the hands for a figure that scale.
Yeah, it's not worth. It's just worth spending the money to buy it as cheap as you can on the card and just opening it.
Yeah,
which you know,
probably which is cheap.
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm a Joe guy. I can live without him.
Yeah, that's true.
No knock on the line, but I'm just kind of like, it's one of those things, like, it sounds like I'm happy. Sounds like I'm lucky that I'm not that interested.
Yeah. There's another one from Kelly Christie that's not so much a question as it is, love that you guys are doing more Lego reviews on your channel. Fun to hear Ados and Dave talk. I think she was talking about John Cook. Fun to hear Ados and Dave talking about the Simpsons house on last week's episode. So I'm going to try to do an update haul video on my YouTube channel this week. And that was something I kind of missed the talk of, was the whole Simpsons house, which we talked about a couple things back from John. But, it's very interesting that, you know, they're finally doing the Simpsons line after they kind of acquired the license very low-key.
Yeah, very low-key.
People talked about it, but it never really hit major, like, news source, outlets. But the fact that suddenly they're like, oh, by the way, here's we got the Simpsons line, and we're doing this. And everybody's like, oh,
yeah,
sweet mother. So Austin Waldo says, what made you guys start collecting toys and licensed merchandise?
Just, when I was a kid, Star Wars came out, and it was the coolest thing ever. And then one day on the playground, you know, rumor was there were going to be toys, and then, you know, tracked them down, and you kind of created your own adventures. You know, Star Wars was a thing that never ended.
Yeah.
It never ended. I mean, the movie ended, but then you would go home, and you would play with the toys.
The adventures never ended.
The adventures never ended. The adventures continued. And so it was just a way to sort of continue. You know, it was kind of like the way people do with fan fiction nowadays, where you continue the story and you do your own stories with those characters. Just like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kept going, so.
Well, it's all, I think our collecting habits, especially for everyone, no matter who you are, it's all nestled in nostalgia.
Oh, it's nostalgia-driven. Even for me, the new stuff is nostalgia-driven because it's stuff I would have loved as a kid.
Yeah. Like, my collecting started when Power Rangers first came out and the Zords came out, and I realized, you know, having no knowledge, the internet was very young back then, having no knowledge of the fact that these creations predated Voltron by many years. Looking at those and goes, those remind me of Voltron. I kind of want to get those. Even though the show was, you know, I'm sure people will kill me for saying this, but at the time, you know, I was in high school watching it going, this show's stupid. Like, it's so dumb.
What, Voltron or Zords?
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
And then the more I watch it, the more I'm like, I kind of like the show. But then I really wanted to find all the Zords because I loved how
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Zords.
Yeah, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Zords.
Because wasn't there I'm thinking of Zoids, maybe.
Sorry, you're thinking of Zoids, yeah. So I started buying the Power Rangers Zords, and that's what kickstarted my collecting habits.
Well,
based on that, of course, that all goes back to nostalgia and the fact that I was like, these remind me of Voltron.
Well, yeah, in terms of like being a, quote, collector, end quote, I mean, that for me started the year after I graduated college. I went back to visit my sort of girlfriend. That went really badly. So my best friend and I took a trip to Boston to this little store that we'd heard about.
Right.
And they had a Mint and Box Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And I was like, this adult thing is not working out. So I'm just going to go back to being...
Just going to go back to being a kid.
I'm going to crawl back into the safety and warmth of childhood.
Yeah, this adult thing for me is not working out very well either time. So I'm just going to...
Yeah, it kind of blows.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay a kid. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Solo, our good buddy John Solo, he wants me to say this in The Rock's voice. Finally, Duvall has come back to the... It's more Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, I don't know who that was.
Austin 316.
That's not nothing.
No, that's pretty bad.
Wow.
He says, thanks to Dave and Ados for keeping the show going.
Yeah, John, no more impersonation requests unless you know that Doss is going to be on the show.
Yeah, that's true. A show with barely any news is better than no show at all. He says, my question, do you think any recent obscure toy lines will have the potential collectability in 20 years like RoboForce, Filmation, Ghostbusters, or Bravestar have now? I'm still collecting certain toy lines that I think are cool, but don't seem to sell well. Stuff like the Max Steel and Ben 10. In the past 10 years, I've bought stuff like Zalin Showdown, Super Monkey Robot Team Hyperforce Go, Secret Saturdays, and Generator Rex, all of which I think can measure up with a lot of lines from the 80s. What do you guys think?
First of all, I think Ben 10 sells pretty well. It's been going on for years.
Bandai's money bucket.
A toy line that doesn't do well doesn't stick around for more than a year. Some of the other stuff, were pretty big bombs. Maybe, you know, it's a different time than it was because there are more people squirreling stuff away.
Yeah.
Which affects the value. And it just depends on whether or not the next generation is as nostalgic for this stuff as we are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really does seem like it's more about video games. I think with Dan's generation and starting forward, it really became about video games.
Yeah.
The Nintendo generation was real. I mean, you know, and Dan, of course, loves his He-Man, and, you know, Scotty loves Power Rangers.
Right.
But I think that was really when video games started becoming as big a deal.
As action figures.
As action figures. Yeah. So I kind of question whether or not the kids today that start to look back, you know, are they going to be as fond of Secret Saturdays, or are they going to be as fond of Skylanders?
Well, but you're seeing seeing some of it now. You're seeing stuff with Bratz starting to show up more and more toy
Bratz
shows.
Is a completely different
thing. Right, but I'm saying you're starting to see some of these toy lines. You know what one line I'm not going to bet any money on, but I've got a funky feeling that eventually people are going to look back and go, man, I want to really find some of that because they were so odd and weird, is the Galador. Remember Galador?
I remember Galador. From that Lego? Was a Lego.
Yeah.
But Lego's its own thing, too. Lego has its own collector.
Yeah, but not even Lego people wanted anything to do with that line.
Well, I know, but
that was Lego's adventure into action figures.
Yeah, I know. I remember what Galador was.
Based on that really awful live-action show they did.
I don't remember there was a show.
No, there was a show. There was a show. Yeah, I mean, I think there's still... It's hard to say. I mean, you can't really peg down anything that's, you know...
Yeah, we wish we could be Jimmy the Greek and tell you that this toy is the lock of the week.
I wish I could, because I tell you what, I look down toy aisles now, and I just shake my head because I'm like, I don't see how any kid even wants to play with any of this stuff.
Yeah, it's all dried. I mean, it's basically all dried up. It's all, you know, I mean, it's fine for me because this is the stuff that I like.
Yeah.
But I feel bad because it's not a healthy ecosystem.
Right. Not at all.
Where it's all Batman, you know, Avengers, Captain America, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Not even really G.I. Joe, but Transformers and Star Wars.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Ben 10 Power Rangers and Turtles.
Yeah. Sean Lafayette Davis says, how many lines have you guys completed, and what are they?
I've completed quite a few. I mean, it depends on how you want to define complete. I'm like one vehicle away from being complete on Humanoids.
Right.
I am complete on Clash of the Titans. I have all the figures for Love Boat.
Yep.
And there's a story that I will tell about that someday. I actually fixed a thing. I'm very happy about it. Yeah, you know how okay, I'll tell it now.
Yeah, go ahead and tell it now.
Podcast. You know, it's not long enough. You know how my the Captain Steubing figure had that really yellowed front?
Right.
Well, so I basically figured, well, you know, I've got his hat. That's all you really need. So, like, I tried to find another figure on eBay.
Right.
So I found one, and he looked fine, and the guy kind of fudged it so that you couldn't see that the arm was really screwed up. The arm had, like, red something on it.
Yeah.
And it, that soft plastic, when you get red ink on it, you can't
get it off.
You can't get it off, right, even with Magic Eraser. So I was really bummed that I was trying to, like, get the arm. I figured maybe I can swap the arms.
Yeah.
That went bad, but fortunately I started with a bad arm.
Oh, good.
And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do the old thing that the customer was just talking about cracking them.
Right.
And I figured, well, I'll still do the one that I screwed up first, because that way... Because the whole thing was he had, like, a perfect front.
Right.
But it turned out his back was messed up.
Oh, gotcha.
And then one arm was messed up. And then it was weird because he had, like, different legs than the other one. Like one has knees and one doesn't.
Oh, weird.
And then one had, like, painted features on the face and one didn't. So I cracked him, and it worked fine. I'm like, yay, he's cracked open. Then I had to crack open the other one.
Right.
And that worked fine. And so I basically, like, mix and match the parts.
You were able to swap it to get a good one.
I swapped it all together, put, like, one perfect one, and then it was like, well, will this go together? And, like, because it was, like, the front half from one and the back half from another, put it all together, fit perfectly. It's not even glued together.
Wow.
So I, like, made one perfect Steubing out of, like, two different figures. And I actually did it. I actually did it all by myself.
Way to go, Dave.
I was super happy.
I'm super proud of you.
That was a good day.
What other lines are you close to finishing, or have you finished? You're close to finishing off Dukes of Hazzard. You need one figure, don't you?
I need Roscoe for Dukes of Hazzard, and then there's two cards for that. I need Boss Hogg's Caddy and Roscoe had a police car. And then there's two different versions of the police car.
Oh, yeah.
But as a general rule, I just go for the figures mostly, and then sometimes I'll go back and do the vehicles. I have all the dinosaurs for the first Jurassic Park toy line, the movie, up till Lost World.
What about all the MASH stuff? Don't you have all the MASH stuff?
I'm missing one
the helicopter.
Figure. No, I'm missing like two or three vehicles. I'm missing the Jeep.
Oh, okay.
Missing the helicopter. I think there's a fourth vehicle that I don't have, and then I'm missing Klinger in the dress. I have all the other figures, and then I have the base.
I gotcha.
The base is kind of impressive. I have, like, I keep talking about things I almost have complete. I'm like one wave away from having all of DC Universe Classics.
Yeah.
It's that last wave.
Yep.
And, like, that's, like, stupid cheap on unnamed online toy retailer.
Yes.
Which I'm always like, I mean, it's still expensive, but, like, it's like, for a wave of figures, it's stupid cheap.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So I always keep meaning to pull the... And then I need Xan and Jaina. I have Gleek, but I don't have Xan and Jaina.
Yep.
Why don't you take over for a minute?
Well,
or
I've
two,
got
son?
Lines. I've got complete.
Congo. I have Congo. I have all,
oh,
the,
you,
I
have
all the figures for Congo.
All the figures for Congo.
I'm weirdly proud of that fact.
Yes. Figures and vehicles. Like, I have the first series of Power Lords complete. Of course, I'm just missing Vulcan Rock as the playset. But all the figures and vehicles from the first series I have complete. My RoboForce vehicles are complete. I have all three RoboForce vehicles that were released. Bill and Ted's, of course, is complete. Last Action Hero is complete. Earthworm Jim is complete. Hell, I even have a figure that nobody seems to know what the heck it came from or how it came to be. So
those are always the coolest.
Yeah, so that's complete.
I have all the Batman 66 figures and the Batmobile.
It's true. Figures-wise, I have Supernaturals is complete. Visionaries, all of the carded figures that they released, I have complete.
I have all the figures for Captain Power.
Yes.
I have one vehicle now.
I have all the Series 1 figures and vehicles for Captain Power.
What's the Series 2 figures? I thought we had
There
those.
Are two figures that I'm still trying to track down.
Ooh.
That were only released overseas, and I've seen pictures of
overseas don't count.
Well,
okay, overseas don't count, so then I can throw in Battlestar, or, yeah, I have all the Battlestar Galactica figures.
Right.
I have all the Buck Rogers figures, and I have all the Black Hole figures.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of overseas, because Black Hole has two figures.
Do you have all the Flash Gordon stuff, too?
I have all the Flash Gordon figures, all the Intel Flash Gordon figures.
Yep.
Complete. I don't have the rocket ship. Yeah. No, Flash and Ming should have tiny little sapphons.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, the rocket ship's going to be one of those things that you...
I don't care about the rocket ship.
Yeah. It's kind of neat, though. Just a big inflatable
like
hunk of...
Yeah, it's a big balloon with a little plastic canopy.
Basically.
Yeah, that's why I don't care about it.
So, yeah, there's quite a few lines that we've managed to complete.
God, I keep forgetting about that whole section of the... I've got Indiana Jones. I've got all the vintage Indiana Jones figures.
Yep, all the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom.
No, I've got all the vintage ones, and then I do have Temple of Doom. I have all three Temple of Doom figures,
yep.
And I have. I'm missing one or two of the deluxe figures, but otherwise, I have all the modern Kenner, Indiana Jones figures.
And then the stuff, of course, that I'm working on. I'm trying to complete lines that there aren't a lot of, like Shadow.
Yeah.
You know, Defenders of the Earth. I'm missing. I've got all the figures. I'm missing a few vehicles from. Trying to think, and then just stuff like that. Like I'm. Getting close to finishing on, because there's really not a lot out there.
Aren't we both complete with Robin Hood?
Robin Hood's complete,
yeah,
except
I've got
for
all the figures with Robin Hood.
I need the net
net
bolo thing, and I need the playset.
Yeah.
So
I am trying to complete Dragon Rush of the Styx. Two vehicles and the figures that come with them away, and then the big dragon. And then I have the rider for one of the horse kind of creatures, but I don't have the horse
yeah.
There was another one that I was working towards completion. I kick around the idea of completing Vintage Joe, and I'm creeping up there. Every year I get, you know, four or five new Vintage Joes.
Yeah.
So I'm getting up there.
You're getting close to...
Yeah, I'm getting close to actually having all of them.
Yeah.
My dream is to one day get every Vintage Star Wars figure. Like, super nice.
Right. Like, and you've got a pretty good start on that.
I've got a decent start on that.
Because you've got stuff like... You've already got a nice blue Snaggletooth and...
Yeah, I mean, I've got... Yeah, I mean, between
like
the stuff
you've
got
a lot of hard-to-find stuff already.
Oh, I've got blue Snaggletooth, I've got Yak Face.
Yeah.
So I'm already, like... I've got two-thirds of the trilogy. And Flix is just monstrous.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not even super worried about that one.
So... Yeah, quite a few things there. Troy Pierce says, what toy for both of us would we like to have but is more than we're willing to spend on it?
The Mattel Rodan.
Yeah?
That goes with the Shogun Warriors Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those things, man. I would love to have that.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time I see it anyway, I'm like, yeah, that's neat.
Yep. And I always talk about, you know, the Ghost Command playset from Filmation Ghostbuster, which I have one that's being held for me, but it's like, unless I can work out a deal, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
There's no way. You know, it's not going to happen. I want it, but I'm not. I don't want to spend that much money on it. But I want it. But then people are like, "Well, you're not going to like." I want it because I'm going to open it. I don't think people understand. I think a lot of people miss that sometimes. That, you know, like I was talking, you know, to Kelly and Matt on Sunday when I ran into them. That, you know, I was basically had been buying mint in box, mint in package stuff, and opening it. You know. And that's the whole thing. You know, there was a guy on Facebook that had a bunch of mint and packaged Hook figures that I was like, ooh, there's a whole bunch. Like, I need all of those. And that's a line that I want to get, but I need to buy them all on card so I can open them. Because a lot of them came with little accessories that, you know, I've got a few of them, but they're missing stuff. And
yeah,
it's like, oh. So, you know, I was like, hey, what do you want for those? And he keeps like, oh, shoot me an offer. And I'd offer him something, and I'd never hear from him. And I ask him again, make me an offer again. And I offer him the same stuff, never hear from him. Finally, I hear back from him, and he's like, you know, because Hook figures shouldn't be more, unless they're the second series deluxe stuff and a couple of the second series figures that were released, those are kind of pricey. But all that first series stuff, which he had the majority of, should only be like $3 to $5 a piece on card. Like, nobody should be asking tons of money for those at all. And the guy was like, I was like, well, I give you $5 a piece on card for him. And he was like, oh, God, I couldn't do that. He's like, Rufio alone's $50. And I was like, where in the world are you getting $50, man? Yeah. Like, you're out of your mind. That's crazy. There's no way I'm paying $50 for Rufio. Like, I could probably find him at a toy show this weekend for $5. But
you didn't.
I did not.
Advantage guy.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just certain things that I won't pay a lot of money for because I know I'm going to open them, you know. The rest of the Defenders of the Earth vehicles, you know, the vehicles that I've gotten have either been opened with their boxes
or... How many more are there? Because you've got the dragon, you've got the sword ship.
There's another sword ship.
Ooh, Lord.
There's two helicopters. There's a Phantom helicopter.
Man.
And there's another helicopter. And then there's a vehicle they reused from the Infaceables line.
I remember that, yeah.
There's that one. So I'm missing those vehicles still, but, eh.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So... Yeah, there's several things that I will not, you know, I'll only pay so much for.
Yeah, I would say Rodan, and then I almost bought one at the show, but it was broken, the Mauler MBT.
Which is something you don't have.
That's probably the last GO vehicle that I really would like to get.
That's stupid expensive.
Well, it's stupid expensive, but yeah. If it was cheap,
which I never understood why that vehicle out of all of them are stupid expensive.
I don't know.
So... And last but not least, from Mr. Brad Thorne.
Well, we
got
one more after that, because there's one that I keep telling you about, and you just are confused.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll answer it. Well, you know what? I have one, too, because I told him to post it on here, and apparently he did not.
Okay, we'll go with Andrea Bree, who, for the record, guys, if you're going to ask a question from now on, do it. Actually, don't send it as a message, because it confuses both of us.
Yeah, if any of you have our text... and mostly I'm talking
well,
to...
Well, I mean, put it in the thread on the Facebook fans page. Don't send it as a message.
Yeah.
This is... But Andrea Bree, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, B-R-I, AD&D and AD&B, after Bridge Direct decided to delay the release of the final Dwarf members in the 3 3/4 line shown at SDCC 2013, I didn't think they would ever be released. After hearing that the current Hobbit movie, Hobbit, has grossed over $750 million globally, I now feel that they will most likely surface. What are your thoughts? The final questions for Dave. Well, okay, first of all, the Hobbit things. What are your thoughts? I don't know. I mean, it just depends on what you can convince, I guess, Toys R Us to buy.
Right, exactly.
Because they're the exclusive guys now. I hope so.
Yeah.
I would just finish the company. Do that box set that has all the members of it. And even though I have half of them already, I would still buy the thing just to finish it. Just finish the company. That's all I want at this point.
Yep.
I'd love a 3 3/4 inch Radagast. I would love it. I would buy it. But, like, the thing that would just literally make me happy and content would be to finish the company.
Yeah.
So do you think they'll do it? Because, or do you think?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see anything else from Bridge Direct for Hobbit, honestly.
Really? Because we've got a third movie coming up.
Yeah, but they seem to have just kind of let it go because Toys R Us isn't behind them at all for any of it. So it's kind of like, I don't think we're going to.
Okay. And then the final question is for Dave. That's why I fought for this.
Gotcha.
With the 1/6 scale Echo Base Han recently being put up for pre-order by Sideshow, we were given the option of Han with a brown or blue parka. I chose the blue because that has been imprinted in my mind dating back to my childhood. What would be your choice and why? Blue. Blue, because that's what the figure was when I was a kid. They've always insisted that it really was this ugly sort of purplish brown, what I call that, the Hasbro purple brown.
Right.
They insist that it's it. If you watch the movie, it's bizarre that if you watch the movie, you really can't tell.
Right.
I don't know how that works. It kind of looks black. It could be blue.
Yeah.
I mean, because they do that with Bespin Han, too. They say it's either black or blue.
Right.
Personally, my theory is that it's kind of a faded black, because when black fades, it kind of looks blue.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But anyway, point being, blue. Blue is, I think it looks better. And it is my vintage memories, too. That's the toy that I had as a kid. That's how I... Even if that's wrong, that's how I always remember it from the movie.
Well, it's funny.
I have gone back and watched the movie super nitpicky carefully to try to pick out the color of the coat. And I swear to God, I can't pick out what the color of the coat is.
Yeah.
But blue. Blue. Good girl.
This one comes from Sean Roussel.
Oh, no! I have one from Sean Roussel, too.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's the same one.
Probably. With no interest in Star Wars Black and the apparent death of the G.I. Joe stuff, what will Dave move on to next?
Your mom. Oh. Oh, you want a little salve for that burn?
Burn.
Quiet retirement?
With you? Yeah, right.
No, we've actually had this discussion off the air. I think 2014 is maybe a regrouping year.
Good call, yeah.
Where we kind of settle down. I mean, you know, there's still going to be Joe stuff to buy. There'll be Comic-Con stuff. I don't know that I'll really be pursuing new stuff all that heavily. I mean, I'm going to get the Avenger stuff, the 3¾-inch Marvel.
Right.
You know, there's one or two Turtles figures. You know, that's one of those ones I cherry pick. There's always stuff that I cherry pick. I'm going to really try to seriously hit the brakes on vintage stuff and only pick up stuff at shows.
Right.
No more eBays.
Yep. I feel you.
But yeah, so my show things now are Secret Wars and Simpsons.
Cool.
So,
last but not least, from Brad Thorne, he says, "Hey guys, Jason, I would like to thank you for introducing us to the Orange Slime website, as it brought back a lot of fond childhood memories, and also thanks for the tour of your collection." He says, "I lost track of how many Oh My Gods and No Ways. How did he find that come out of my mouth?"
See, that's why I didn't film mine.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to compete.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I did wonder is when you were
I love the little pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, "One thing I did wonder, when you were talking about your GoBots collection, you mentioned how the line doesn't really get a lot of love, and I've been wondering that for myself for a long time. Why are the GoBots so dismissed by toy collectors? The few GoBots figures I've gotten to see in person since becoming a collector seem on par with their Generation 1 Transformer counterparts, and episodes of Challenge of the GoBots that I've watched so far have been very well made and enjoyable to watch. So why does the line get so dismissed by collectors?" Basically,
it's a fine little line.
It's part of it is a lot of the I love
it's a
lot
knockoff. They rip off Transformers. That's why we hate them.
I love a lot of the Transformer fans, but there's certain groups of them that seem so elitist when it comes to Transformers over anything else.
It's why you win, so that you can look down your nose at the losers.
You know, I don't know. It's part of it is because, and it's funny too, because you know, basically GoBots came out about 4.5 months before.
Lies. Do not believe it. Do not believe the lies.
Before Generation 1. So those were actually on the marketplace before Transformers showed up. And the Transformers showed up and, of course, took the world by storm. And suddenly everyone was like, blech, these are stupid. I don't know, man. Like, there are some figures, there are some GoBots figures that I just will not buy because I look at them and go, oh God, it's horrible. But there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, I really want that figure because he's kind of neat looking. And I've got most of those figures. So I think it's just preference, really. I mean, there are some really good figures for... I think the Power Suit combiners are really cool. I think both combiners for that line are amazing. I think Puzzler and Monstrosity are...
Monstrosity is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they're both really cool for...
Especially when he's all complete.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I'm still missing an arm for mine.
I'm not.
I know you're not. Shut your face. It's good stuff, though. But I don't think we'll ever see that line be as accepted as Transformers. It'll never happen.
Transformers is huge.
But that makes it fun to try to buy all the GoBots stuff you can, because there's so much odd stuff out there that it's hard to find a lot of it.
That is interesting. Like, it always surprised me that like the gun you found at the show this week. It's like there's all these weird little side things that they made for GoBots.
Yes. Lots of weird little side things. That are just really so much fun. So.
Like they had a delusion it would be successful.
Yes, very much so. Oh, crap. Well, no thoughts with Ados Baron this week. He is Das is going to an every other week thing for his thoughts.
Okay.
Just because his schedule and everything else he's got going on is going to be a little much. And he's, you know, so Das will be back next week. He was here for 2 weeks in a row, so he'll be back next week. He'll be back with a new thoughts next week, which honestly is the best produced part of the show.
I know. It's a little embarrassing, frankly.
Dave and I were like, we'll just dial the production in, it's fine. And Das was like, sound effects and music.
Sound effects and music and production values. And
it's just, Dave and I are just two schmucks sitting in a chair talking about toys.
Pretty much.
That's how this podcast started, dang it. Well, there you go, gang. That'll wrap it up. Yep, that'll wrap it up for us. Like I said, make sure if you're listening to the show and you haven't yet, you're on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com, look up Toy World Order Fans, join the group, and there'll be a new pinned post every week for all the fans to leave questions for Dave and I for this show, as well as once Married to the Collection starts up, there'll be a pin post for Married to the Collection. So,
and since Dave got gypped on the whole video thing, he's been posting
posting
pics of his collection.
Well,
I was actually going to do it like one a day, but I realized that we would be into next year before
probably
I got
yeah.
halfway through.
Probably
we're not even done with like the second shelf of the first wall.
I know it's gonna be a while.
It's gonna be a while. Settle in, folks.
Yeah, settle in, guys. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, on the fans page. Everyone's posting great pictures and great, you know, great stories and great comments about stuff. So please keep that up. That's the kind of community I wanted to have that we now have on the Toy World Order fans page that I couldn't ever quite get on the forums, because I think we dreamt a little big for the forums, and there's wasn't a whole lot of people to really keep an eye on the forums to keep conversations going and stuff. But on Facebook, it's so much easier, because usually my phone will buzz whenever somebody leaves something on the Toy World Order fans page, and I can just go in and comment.
Facebook. I'm on Facebook, so I'm you know, for other reasons. So it's just easier for me to follow than to have to log in to this other page.
Exactly. So lots of great stuff going on there. I mean, you know, people may think, well, this is the fan site for just Toy World Order. No, that's not true. I posted one of Pixel Dan's video reviews because, honestly, you're probably not going to see it from me because I can't bring myself to open mine, so might as well watch Danny's review on it. Mm. But Dan just reviewed his first review back.
I saw that, yeah.
From having Spencer, from Christina having Spencer on January 3rd. His first review back is the Super 7 Funko Alien Reaction Wave 1 figure. So I put that up on the fan page just because I thought, well, I'm sure people want to see a review of it. And like I said, I'm not going to do it because I can't bring myself to open my pre-order packages because they're the blue ones, and I don't want to open them. So,
and I'm lazy.
Dave is pretty lazy. Poor Dave.
Meh.
Poor David.
So, how is that a condition?
I don't know. Maybe it's not. I don't know. There you go, guys. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, as always, for Dave and the Vols Toys and Collectibles. But until then, David,
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
This toy bar is closed, peeps. Peace out.